الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وحده لا شريك له، ولا نظير له، ولا ند له، ولا ضد له، ولا مثل له، ولا مثال له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون، إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤولة عن رعيته، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected elders and brothers, approximately 150 years ago, in the country of South Africa, the first Muslims had come from India and settled down in the provinces of Natal and Transvaal with the intention of doing business, perhaps finding greener pastures. They had issues of establishing their homes, establishing their businesses, investing their monies. But with all of this, there was a great concern that was burning in the heart of these Muslims that had settled down in South Africa. And this concern and fikr was that this kalima which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed into our hearts, this kalima which we recite with our tongues, being in a foreign country far away from our homes, it must never be that we lose this kalima. And as a result, wherever they went, there were two concerns that were before them, even before the concern of their own homes and their own businesses. And that was the concern of establishing a masjid and the concern of establishing a madrasa. And if you look throughout these two provinces, in every town, in every little village, in every little dorpi, there is a masjid and there is a madrasa. And this was run through their barakat and through their du'as, that the foundation of deen and the foundation of Islam was established in South Africa. Today, whatever work of deen we are seeing, whether it's in the form of the masjids, the madrasas, the darul ulums, the hifz class, the tabligh and da'wat work, the khanqa work, the jamiat work, the ulama work, the fatwas, the darul iftas, the books that are written, all of this is as a result of this foundation that was placed 150 years ago by our elders. The foundation of the maktab, the foundation of the madrasa, this became a result of all these dini works that we are seeing today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them greatly for this, that they first put deen in front of them. They made sure they educated their children. Even if it meant bringing down someone from India, whether it was a munshi, or whether it was a miyaji, or whether it was some apa that was teaching in the corner of someone's house or lounge, they made sure that they educated their children in deen. They taught them how to recite the Qur'an Kareem. They taught them what is permissible and not permissible, what is the farais of salah, what are the farais of wuzu. And as a result, this flame of iman that was burning in their hearts were then transferred to their children and then transferred on until it reached us. Yet at the same time, if we have to look at a continent next to us, approximately 70 years ago, there was a similar kind of movement that had taken place from the Middle East, from countries like Lebanon, countries like Palestine, Syria, Jordan. Muslims had moved over to the south of America with the same intention that let us look for greener pastures, let us try and establish businesses and homes. But with the failure of establishing this little maktab, with the failure of establishing this primary madrasa, in a short period of 70 years, there is no sign of Islam or deen in this country. People will tell you, perhaps my grandfather was a Muslim, I'm not sure. Or I have these relics of my grandparents, and he'll bring forward a Quran or a Musalla, showing that this was a sign to show that they were Muslims. But yet there's no Islam. And this was all because of the failure of establishing this primary maktab, this primary madrasa, which became the foundation of Islam and became the foundation of deen. My respected elders and friends, we are presently at that time of the year where parents are all concerned about the children's secular education. It's that time of the year when parents have chosen the best schools for their children to ensure that they progress in as far as dunya is concerned. Let us not forget the deen which our forefathers have passed on to us. Let us not deprive of our children of deeni ta'aleem and deeni education, and ensure that we send them to a good madrasa, a good maktab, where they will learn how to read the Quran, where they will learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us in every moment of our lives. Our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullahi alayh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise him to the highest stages of Jannatul Firdaus. Hazrat Maulana used to always say, around about this time of the year, when the metric results are released, and he used to always say that when the results are released, then everyone is looking to see how many A's we got. Someone is proud to say that I've got 5 A's, or I've passed with 6 A's. Nowadays we hear of 7 and 8 A's also, which was unheard of in the past. But Maulana used to always say, no matter how many A's your child gets, if he fails to have the A of Allah in him, then that child is a failure. He may have 7 or 8 A's in his matric pass, but if he doesn't have the A for Allah, the love for Allah, the pleasure of Allah, the ita'at of Allah, then that child is indeed a failure, because he has failed to realize the purpose of his life. This is a time when people are looking for good secular schools to send their children and educate their children, be it as it may. Let us not forget the importance of educating them in deen. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi used to mention, he used to say that if we only educate our children in secular and we fail to educate them in deen, a time will come when this child will now start thinking like an atheist. He'll start moving towards atheism. He'll begin to reject Allah if he doesn't have deeni ta'aleem coupled with that secular education and coupled with that school education. And he narrates one incident about 100 years ago of a person in Goa, in India, who had sent his child to the best schools in India. And after educating him, it was the time of the British, he attained a bursary after the child had matriculated and sent him to the UK to go and further his studies. When this child came back home, after studying whatever he needed to study, taqdeer played its part, and suddenly the child fell ill, and terminally ill, in the state of his. The father is sitting on the side of his child, and he's crying, tears are pouring from his eyes, and he's saying to his son, oh my son, what a day is this, what a sad day is it. I've spent 25,000 rupees on you, which was a large number 100 years ago, and unfortunately, I cannot see the fruits of my investment. You are now lying on your deathbed, and all my money has been wasted. I will not see the fruits of my investment. I was hoping that you would come back, you would earn, and you would look after your parents. But I see you now in your last moments. Suddenly the child's eyes opened and he sat up and he addressed his father. He says, "Oh my father, this is too late for you to cry. And this is not a time for you to cry. The real time for you to cry is when I'm taken and I'm flung into the fire of Jahannam. Because I can see presently in front of me the angel of death. And he's come with all the malaika. And they're coming to take my ruh away from me. You have never taught me about Allah. You have never taught me about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I have now reached this pitiable condition. And I blame you for it." And in this condition, the child left this world. My respected elders and friends, it is extremely important for us that we educate our children in deen. We educate them in ta'aleem, in as far as what is halal and haram is concerned. Teach them the Quran al-Kareem. Teach them what is right and what is wrong. The antidote for the secular education on its own is this primary maktab. When this little child will go to the madrasa with his Quran Sharif in his right hand, and he's wearing his kurta and his topi, and he's walking to the madrasa, the little girl with her burqa on, and she's got her juzdan, by the qasam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every bird in the sky, every fish in the ocean, every ant in the ant hole, every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making dua for those little children as they're going to the maktab, as they're going to the madrasa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man salaka tariqan," that person who walks on a path to go and learn ilm, to go and learn knowledge, sahhalallahu lahu tariqan ila al-jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his path to Jannah extremely easy for him, extremely asan for him. My respected elders and friends, if you just take a survey of all of us that are sitting here in the masjid today, there may be people from different walks of life. Someone might be a lawyer, someone might be an accountant, someone may be a doctor, someone may be some other profession, someone may be a hafiz, someone may be a maulana, someone may be a mufti. But if you look at all of us that are sitting here in the masjid today, when we made wudu and we entered the masjid and we will perform our Jummah salah, let us think for a moment, who taught us to make that wudu? Where did we learn to perform the salah? How do we know how many rakats there are in the salah? Every person will be unanimous on this fact that this we learnt in the maktab, this we learnt in the madrasa, that primary maktab in the hands of some apa or some munshi sahab or some molana, it was the thing that equipped us to continue with the rest of our lives as Muslims. Today, alhamdulillah, we have that Muslim identity, we have the knowledge of deen, we have the knowledge of Islam, but that is only through the barakat of that primary maktab and that primary madrasa. And for this, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give jazaya khair. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our ulama-i kiram and our elders. Especially at this moment, I take the names of Hazrat Maulana Umarji Saab Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Maulana Abdurrahman Ansari Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Saab Rahmatullah Ali, that these ulama had worked tirelessly in our province especially to establish these primary maktabs, to establish these primary madrasas, so that me and you can have deen today. Today we can take Allah's name, we can take the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we can recite the Quran al-Kareem correctly and properly, applying the laws of tajweed. My respected elders and friends, this is through the barakat of these great elders. The call is that today, our children, let us not deprive them of this ta'aleem. Let us not deprive them of this maktab. Let us not deprive them of this madrasa. Let it be that the same fikr and concern that our fathers and grandfathers had, and that they passed on to us, then we pass on that same fikr and concern to our children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with an opportunity a few years ago to go to Palestine, a Muslim country, a country of Arabs, a country of the third haram Masjid al-Aqsa. The call and the cry of these people, the call and the cry of these people is, help us establish little madrasas for our children. Our children are Arabs. They speak Arabic. They can't recite the Quran. It's mind-boggling to understand. A person is an Arab, he can speak Arabic, but he can't read the Quran al-Kareem. because he's never been to madrasa. He doesn't know how to recite the Quran. The Quran will only come in our hearts when it's passed on. It was passed from Jibreel alayhi salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Sahaba, and from the Sahaba the chain continued until today. We learnt it from our ustads, and we will now pass it on to our children. So the cry of the people of the world is that how can you help us establish these maktabs? Alhamdulillah, if you look in South Africa, then many, many countries of the world look at South Africa as an example of how these madrasas are established. As I said, these ulama-i-kiram, our seniors, they have established the system. And as a result, we see the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala flourishing all around us. My respected elders and friends, if you look into the life of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will find that this was also an outstanding feature in the life of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala explains the job description of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, where he says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. That amongst the different job descriptions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the job descriptions is to teach the Quran Kareem to the people of the Ummah. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had established. We may have all heard, or we may have all read in the Fazail-e Amal, the incident of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepting Islam. It's a very famous incident. He was gone up one morning in order to assassinate Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he reached the house of his sister Fatima bint Khattab. There was a little madrasa that was taking place over there, and there was one ustad and there were two students. The ustad was Hazrat Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the students were Hazrat Fatima and her husband Hazrat Sa'id bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. These were the two students, and this was the one ustad. And Quran was being taught in this maktab, in this madrasa. We can say, the incident is a long, I'm sure we all have heard this incident, but we can safely say that this great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is a direct product, a direct result of this maktab, of this primary madrasa, which sometimes in our eyes seems to be extremely unassuming, something very small, something very insignificant. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزِيمٌ. But in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed this is something very, very great, something very honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected elders and friends, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in the hadith that كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. Every one of you is a shepherd. Every one of you is a shepherd. And every one of you will be asked and will be questioned regarding your flock. This is the time of the year when we're looking for good schools for our children. Let us not deprive our children of madrasa education. Let us not deprive them of dini ta'aleem. Find the best maktab for them where they will be able to learn the Quran Kareem, and make sure that they are going to madrasa every day. That will inshallah settle in their hearts, that Quran Kareem that they will recite, that kalima that they will learn, that du'as that they will read, the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend in their hearts just by going to the maktab, going to the madrasa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one hadith, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْ قَتَى عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ سَلَاسِ. That when a person passes away, there's no way he can now continue with his ibadat. If a person was tahajjud guzar, and he was reading tahajjud every day, if a person was hafiz, and he was reading one Quran every day, the day he passes away, that cuts off. He cannot recite any Quran anymore. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that before you leave this world, make some investments. Everyone is interested in investments. Someone is investing in a petrol station. Someone is investing in a building. Someone investing in property. People are investing everywhere. Here in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, place your investments. And amongst the thing that he's saying invest in, he says invest in your children. Al-waladun salihun yad'u lahu. If you leave behind a pious child, will make dua for you. That's your greatest investment, that a person passes away. A person leaves this world, and there's that child who he has left behind, who he has given him dini ta'aleem. That child will wake up every morning at the time of tahajjud. He'll raise his hands and he'll say, oh Allah, fill my father's qabr with noor. Oh Allah, grant my father jannatul firdos. He'll recite Surah Yasin every morning, and he'll send the sawab for his father, provided we invested in our children. Otherwise it will happen Like how it happened a few months ago here in Durban, there was an incident that had taken place where in the old age home nearby us, there was an incident of a lady who was taken and brought there. One of the maktabs, one of the madrasas, had gone for a little excursion to visit the old people in the old age home. And they met this one woman who was there. And sadly, she had to express her sentiments. Old woman, her son is extremely wealthy, extremely rich, and she's sitting in the old age home. So those people that were responsible, the muallimas that were there, they asked her, that Ma, you know, you're here in this old age home. Why is it that you're here? Why don't you go and stay with your son? So the response she gave, the reply she gave was that my son came and he left me over here. And he said to the people that are in charge, the administrators, that as far as money is concerned, don't worry. I'll pay all the fees and necessary things that you may need for her. But I can't take her back home. She'll have to stay over here. So when one of the administrators mentioned to him that your mother is old, she's now in the last stages of her life, why don't you take her back home? She'll live there with you. She'll be a little more comfortable staying at home. So the man mentioned that as long as my mother was a good nanny for my children, she was good enough to stay in my house. But now she's not even good enough for this. So that's why she's better she stays here than stay in my own house. Well, this is the investment we'll get if we invest only circular in our children. If you don't give deen to them, then this is the investment we'll get back. But wallah, if we give them deen, we give them Islam, while we're living also, they'll be good to us. The day we leave also, they'll be good to us. I've got one friend who's living in the North Coast. About 7 or 8 years ago, his father passed away. From the day his father passed away till today, he's Hafizul Quran. From the day his father passed away till today, 7 or 8 years, every day after the Fajr Salah, he goes straight to the Qabristan. He stands by his father's Qabr and he reads one para of the Quran Kareem daily. And from that day till this day, he hasn't missed out one day in between. That's the kind of son we must leave behind. Will be an investment for us also while we're living. The day we die also will be an investment for us. My respected elders and friends, as parents, our duty and our responsibility is, number one, find a good madrasa for our children and make sure we educate them in as far as deen is concerned. Number two is make sure we send them to madrasa daily. If you ask any of the ustads or ask any of the muallimas and apas, they'll tell you our biggest problem in a madrasa is absenteeism. The child is absent almost every day, or is coming 2 days, 3 days, is absent. If a child has got a dentist appointment, he'll do it in madrasa time. If he needs to go to the optician, he'll go in madrasa time. He wouldn't use the school time, but the madrasa time is used for all his work. And as a result, it becomes difficult to make progress with the child when he's absent so often in a madrasa. So as a parent, let us see that we send our children daily to the madrasa and they are not absent. Unfortunately, last year, in many, many madrasas, most of them had sent in a report to say that in our madrasa, there wasn't even one child who received a prize for full attendance. Unfortunately, because of absenteeism. And number three, respected elders and friends, let us sit with our children daily at home and do the sabak with them. The apa or the ustad will teach that sabak to the child in the madrasa. But the problem is that many a times, the child comes back to the madrasa without having learned that sabak at home. As a father, let us take that responsibility to sit with our children daily and do that sabak with them, read with them, ask them what they learned in madrasa. There were many fathers who came back and said, I forgot most of my madrasa work, but through the barakat of sitting with my children, this became a refresher for me, and I am now remembering and I am learning again with my own child. That will become a means of great benefit for us. There were many parents who came back to say that I wasn't performing my salah, but because of that child in a madrasa who needed to tick her salah chart to say that she performed her salah for that day, that child made me start reading my salah also. So let us take this seriously, that we sit with our children every day. If there's anything that our children are deprived of, they are deprived of our time. A child today has everything as far as worldly things are concerned. He's got the best phone, he's got the best clothes, he's got the best room, he drives in the best car. But if there's anything he's deprived of the time of his parents. When he comes home, he needs to spend some time with his parents. My humble appeal to every father sitting here today is, let us take out that time every day and sit with our children. The time between Maghrib and Isha, The time between Maghrib and Isha, let us allocate it for our children, except for a person who's going for Gush. He's going for Gush, he may continue. But otherwise, the rest of the days, we sit with our children, we're having some ta'aleem with them, we're passing on some values with them, but we give them quality time. We give them quality time. In that time, person mustn't be now on his WhatsApp, and he's on his computer also, and trying to read newspaper also, and then he's giving his child a little bit of time. They don't need kasra time, they need quality time. And that father has to take that responsibility of giving his child quality time every day. If we want that investment in our child, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, then inshallah ta'ala, we will have to give that time and we'll have to invest in these children. I'll just end on this one incident. I can't forget about 2 years ago. It was a Sunday night after the Isha Salah. And I heard a knock on the door. Normally after Isha Salah on a Sunday, very seldom you'll get a visitor coming. The next day, school, there was a person who had come into the yard and he was very concerned, very worried. From our town in Isipingo Beach, he had come in and he wanted to mention something. He was very concerned, so he gives his story and he says, I had a little child who was attending the government school, and after passing the first two grades, the principal of the school called me and mentioned to me that your son is very intelligent, he's very brilliant. He shouldn't be going to a normal government school. There's a Christian school that is down the road. Why don't you send your child there? He'll get better education. This person says, the mistake I made was, I took my child out of the school and sent him there to that school. And being a Christian school, there's a lot of extramural activities. And as a result, the child never ended up going to the madrasa. He continued there in that school until he reached a stage where the board of governors of that school called the father in for a meeting and mentioned to him that your son has passed with such excellent marks that I feel that he's going to waste his time here in the school. Rather, we apply for a bursary and send him to America, where he will get the best education in the best universities of America. He says, many ulama at that time advised me, don't ever do this. Don't ever do this, because this is not the right thing for you to be doing for your son. But he says, because of the pressure of the school, and because of them arranging the bursary for my child, I sent him over. And he says, day before yesterday, he qualified, he completed his matric and he came back home. We had a big dawat at home, we had a big feast, we called all the family members. And when we saw his report, he passed with such excellent marks, that previously in that university, there wasn't anybody who had marks like his. I was a bit concerned, I'm still waiting what he's trying to say. But then he says, today was Sunday, and normally in many masajid on a Sunday, the zuhar is a little early. So he said, we woke up, we had breakfast, and when the azan for zuhar salah went, I told my son, come, let's we go for salah. So he looked at me and he told me, daddy, what you say? So he said, let's go for salah. So he said, daddy, you continue, I don't even believe in Allah anymore. At the cost of his iman, at the cost of that kalima, this child never went to maktab. This child never went to madrasa. Circular was what is in front of the father, but at the cost of the iman, this was something that I saw in front of me. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. This is the time of the year, brothers. Let us find good madrasas for our children. Educate them in deen. Teach them about Allah. Teach them